Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. I'm Dan Rettina, the founder of Dan's Papers. And my guest today is Pierre Weber, who is the owner of Pierre's Restaurant in Bridgehampton, that we all know and love. And it's probably unique in the Hamptons in that when you go there, besides that the food is great and the service is really good, you feel like you've stepped into a little bit of France. The menus are in French and English, and it's just a wonderful place to spend some time. And I wanted to know how it all came about that you created this French restaurant in the Hamptons.
It is like an enclave of French tradition and feelings that I wanted to create over here because I feel good showing this to the American people, to the local community as well.
In the hall in the back, there are photographs of your uncle, and these are black and white photographs taken, 80, 90 years ago, some of them.
Many years ago.
Yes.
Many, many years ago.
In France. Where was your family from? Were they based in a particular region or town?
They came from Alsace.
Where?
And in a town called Ussen. That's where my father, Ussen. That's the name of the town.
Yes, where is that in France? I'm familiar with it, but never heard of that village or town.
Oh, it's not far from Colmar. I went there once with my dad. He wanted to show me the bakery of his dad, of his father. And that was still there so many years after.
So were you born and raised in France or in America?
I was born in Paris. Both of my parents are from Alsace. They were born in Alsace. And I feel more Alsatian than I feel Parisian.
That's up by the Belgian border, I think.
No, German border.
Belgium is so small.
Yeah.
So, do you have any memory of post-war time there where you were raised when you were a small boy?
From my parents, I heard stories. You know, as you know, Alsace was back and forth between Germany and France. It started in 1870, and then it came back to France, and then it went back to Germany during the occupation of the World War II. And my parents, they told me that during that time they were growing up in Alsace, they had to speak German because Alsace was annexed
right.
Germany. It became Germany.
Yes.
And my father ran away because all the young kids at the age of 18, 19, 20, they were enrolled in the German army. And he didn't want that. So he escaped.
And went where?
He went to a town called La Baule. It's in Brittany. That's far. He worked in a hotel, and then at the end of the war, he moved back to Paris.
And then you came along.
A few years later, yeah. First, he had to meet my mother, that also came from a small little village where he was living. The same, it's called Obernai. Many people know Obernai. It's a beautiful little Alsatian village. So they met, and both of them lived in Paris. And with the time, they opened their own bakery. That's what my father knew how to do. He was a baker, so he was making pastries and bread. And for many years, about 30 years, they had this bakery in Paris. So I grew up in the commerce of pastries.
I lived in France for about 3 months years ago in Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, yes, in the south.
I had an apartment just outside the walls of the city, heading toward Rue des Alpes, on Rue des Alpes. And there was a bakery just inside the wall, which was the closest you could walk to. And it was the worst bakery I'd ever been to. And so every morning I'd have to go out and get terrible bread because there was no choice that could go further. Just a memory I have of. How did you come to America then? How old were you?
Well, I came to the United States.
Yes.
So my parents, they had that shop in Paris, and their dream was that I would take over. My dream was I didn't want to take over. So I tried, and finally I decided to come to the United States, and I started in New York.
How did you persuade them you should come here?
Well, I didn't give them the choice.
Yeah.
I tried to work with them for a few years, and it was going nowhere. I had to get married, imagine.
You're an American woman.
They wanted me to marry a
Oh.
French woman to stay in the business of my parents. So I left and I came to New York. That was the end of their dream and the beginning of mine, in fact.
So what did you do?
I started to work in a bakery.
How old were you then?
I was 29 already.
Oh.
Yeah, I was 29. It was really a big move for
Yeah.
me. At 29, you do it only once. I mean, this kind of important move. So I worked in this bakery in New York on 55th Street. And another one on 45th Street and 3rd Avenue. And I did develop the business.
Yeah.
I did wholesale pastries. I was selling to hotels and restaurants. And many years later, I sold everything. I stopped and I came to Bridgehampton.
Why?
It was time for me to make a change from the business, the wholesale business in New York, and took a 1 year sabbatical year, and I came to the Hamptons. I discovered the Hamptons, and I heard about this restaurant,
Billy
the
Dietrich.
hostel, and I said, let's do it.
Did Billy Dietrich still own it?
No. Many people are telling me that the story about that guy and that.
He was kind of amazing. He was
Yeah.
a high school mate of Carl Yastrzemski, the Bridgehamptons' donation to the major leagues. He was a Red Sox star in the Hall of Fame, and he grew up with him, and he collected all of Carl Yastrzemski's paraphernalia and made it into a restaurant that was an homage to Carl. With
Yeah.
his, they called it the Triple Crown Bar because Carl had won the Triple Crown, best batting average, most home runs, most runs batted in. Has only been done once since in baseball. And I remember on his wall with letters and frames like from the Brooklyn Dodgers that wanted to get Carl to go there. There's batter he hit the ball with, blah, blah, blah. So it was quite a place. And he moved out of the area down to Florida when he retired. That was that story.
Many people are still talking to me about that guy and the found of the memory, and it brings them back good time they had at that bar.
How did you see what the restaurant should be like? It seems to be sort of a higher class bistro in some ways, in some of the dishes.
Well, the higher you want to go, the more chance you can burn your wings. So I try to stay modest in the food offering. Still, I insist to be consistent and to have all of the dishes with the French approach. So that changes to another restaurant. And I decided to write my menu in French and English.
Give me some examples of some of the dishes that are classics.
Oh, there is, it goes to two different directions. One is the tarte flambée. That's from Alsace, tarte flambée. The flammekueche, as they say in Alsace. And people love it. They call that a pizza, a flat pizza. Don't sell that to an Alsatian, the pizza. And there's another one on the other end is the lobster fricassé. So that's the other end. Lobster flambé with cognac and tarragon. And these days, we sell so many of people. They really like that dish. So that's the other part of the menu. The rack of lamb is very popular too. Rack of lamb, people love it.
What are the most popular dishes besides that?
Oh, we have the sea bass. The sea bass is really a great dish. And also, we have the tuna, tuna tartare on a bed of guacamole. And that's a very good dish too. And of course, the beef tartare. Beef tartare with a fillet that we cut at the last minute by knife. And we mix with our own mix of, but it's a secret. I'm not going to tell you that now.
Well, that's all right. What year was it when you came and opened the restaurant?
Pierre's restaurant is my first restaurant ever. I never had a restaurant before.
Yes.
But when I was in France, I went to the hotel school for 3 years. And during that year, I learned everything about restaurants and the hotel. So for me, it was not really a surprise. It was scary, but not really a surprise.
And you had for a long time out front of the restaurant, you parked what is probably the craziest automobile ever made in France or anywhere else, an old Citroën deux chevaux, as I
Yeah,
recall.
that's right. That's right.
Two
That's
horses.
right. I had so many of these little cars. I had the Trocket, I had the blue one, I had the red one, I had a yellow one. But you know, these cars are in the winter, it's freezing. There's
Yeah.
no heat. No heat in these cars.
We should describe that for people who are not familiar with it. It's basically a bicycle with a car on it, a car top. What's its top speed? And I think a deux chevaux is 2 horsepower, but of course
It is 2 horsepower.
it's much more than, but it's not.
Depends on if it's on a windy day, if the wind is behind you, you can go pretty fast. Otherwise, it takes a long time.
You ever worry somebody might steal
No, they wouldn't know how to drive it.
it? It was a wonderful car. I guess they were inexpensive when they were new. How long did they continue to make them? They don't make them anymore, do they?
Oh, I think they stopped making them in the 80s, and they were made in Brazil somewhere in a factory. And that's it. It's only antique that you can find on the market. Yeah, they're getting much more expensive now. But you know, these cars, they you don't use much gas to go around.
Yeah. I also would note that you have the nicest people working for you in any restaurant. They are eager and, I don't know, young and wonderful.
I'm very lucky.
How do you manage that?
Just be kind.
Yes.
Be
Okay.
kind and have empathy, respectful, And they give it back to you and they give it to the customers.
That's true. So, what year was that? I don't think you answered that question. What year was that when you opened it?
I opened in May 2002.
Oh, so yeah, it's a quarter of a century you've been there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was an interesting summer because before my time, it was a bar with people dancing on the bar. It was quite rowdy. It was a different style that what I had in mind. And it was the change of rhythm in the restaurant. And it took me some time to put myself on the map. It took about 3 years before people started to come in and to. I will always remember the same year, the same summer, on July 4th. I was ready at the restaurant with all my team, the crew, everything was in place. And that day, nobody came. Zero customer.
Oh, good planning. Yes.
So, when it's hard, you just work harder. And finally, I made it. And it took me 3 years.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I've
Welcome, Dan.
enjoyed talking to you about these things, and I will be seeing you soon. I'm sure I'll be there again not too long in the future.
I
And
will be there. Thank you,
thank you.
Dan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.